You won't believe nothing else I said. Now I'm going to tell you something. Have you ever seen it rain cats and dogs? Well, there's some people claim it have, but now I'll tell you the truth behind that. You go over to England today in Europe, and you'll still see a lot of houses with straw roofs. In fact, some pretty expensive homes actually use straw over there. It's a great insulator. It looked to me like it'd be a fire hazard, but anyway, I've been over and seen it. They have like a screen wire, like a chicken wire, kind of holds it in place. But anyway, in the old days, a lot of roofs. They'd have a dirt floor maybe, but they'd have a straw roof in those places. So you've heard the saying, it rained cats and dogs. Now here's where it come from. In those homes, some of them built up near hills, cats and dogs would get in the straw and sort of nest up. And in a big hard rain, it was possible, if it come up, to rain cats and dogs in your living room. So that's where the terminology actually came from. But I'm saying God used the natural elements here, defeating this nuclear army on the hills of Israel, as you read the last verses of chapter 37. Now we start in chapter 39, and I'll hopefully get back to something you'll trust me with, the Bible. Chapter 39, verse 1, therefore, talking about what all's gone before, this coalition of nations moving against Israel, God's judgment falling on them, and then we're going to get some detail of this judgment here in chapter 39. Therefore, thy son of man, prophesy against Gog, that's the leader, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Now, the word Moscow, coming over into English for us, is Meshach, and Tobolsky, a city over there in Russia, both these cities, identifiable. Verse 2, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee. When they make this move, in which many people believe is getting very close, when they make this move, God's going to destroy them all but a sixth part. Now, that's not leaving them very many of the army that moves here on the mountains of Israel. And will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and we've talked about that. The location of Moscow is almost a straight line north of Jerusalem. And will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Now let's think about it. Bow and arrows, well, yeah, it's used in some battles today still, but if the Lord had said nuclear missiles, people 100 years and 200 years ago wouldn't know what he's talking about. Do you understand an arrow is the simplest form of a missile? It is. And so the arrows here, and by the way, some of the missiles we have today are named after arrows. They've actually got the word arrow on the side of them, that sort of thing. So this is modern enough. God wrote the Bible where folks could get something out of it hundreds of years ago, and that you and I have the advantage of living in the latter years now to understand better. If we study it, we've got more helps to understand better today than the folks of many years ago. The only difference is, I fear, some of the folks years ago lived a little bit closer to the author of the book than maybe we do. And they might have had a little more insight that way. Verse 4, and thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel. Here's the prediction now. They're going to fall on the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, it's more than one nation, and the people that is with thee, and I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beast of the field to be devoured. Most of you know, and some of you veterans certainly know this, the battlefield, when it's left with bodies, it's not but just a few short days, and the vultures and the animals come after it. Here, several years ago, there was a war lasted, what did it last? About 4 years, between Iran and Iraq. Remember that? And that was about the time after Ronald Reagan had become president. We got our hostages back from Iran, but the Ayatollah and Saddam Hussein got into war, and it was a bad one. One of the sad things about it was they enrolled the kids to go out ahead of the army to trip the mines and blow themselves up. The old Khomeini in Iran, who we are, our administration now is cozying up to, that old Khomeini would take a wooden key, looked like a house key, door key, hang it on a little golden chain or rope around the necks of the kids, send them out of the head of the army to trip the mines and blow themselves up. His promise to them was, if you die, this key gets you into heaven. Allah is going to let you in. Let me tell you, it matters a whole lot about what you believe about religion. Religion's a terrible thing. It's used of the devil. And in that war, he would do that. And the army of Iran and Iraq would go out in those valleys and fight. And I read the report of a reporter having a guide take him after one of the battles. They just slaughtered each other out there in the valley with the weapons. And a reporter wrote the story how that he had a guide take him up on the mountains and to look over the battlefield with all the dead bodies after the battle was over between those two nations. And he said, I looked down there, and it looked like black oil in the valley. Just looked like it was full of a liquid oil. He said, I couldn't see anything. And the guide said, just a minute. And he took a rifle, like you've seen them do on the news, and just fired it up in the air. And when he did, all that oil began to fly. It was buzzards. It was birds. It was crows. It was vultures. As they lifted up off the bodies. Now that's exactly what's described right here in the Bible. What I'm talking about, that reporter wrote just a few years ago, how the birds had gathered into the battlefield to devour the bodies of the soldiers. And this is what the Lord is saying here that's going to happen. And he said, ravenous birds in verse 4. And verse 5, thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, that's the leader of the group here, mostly Russia, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles. Now there's a lot of debate on this statement, carelessly in the isles, even as where this is the U.S. or somebody else involved. It is some coalition of nations, no doubt about it. And God is bringing judgment here on this whole band. And here in America, we like to think of ourselves as the good guys and that God's on our side. Abraham Lincoln said during the Civil War, somebody said, well, God's on our side. And Abe Lincoln said, I'm more concerned about whether or not we're on his side. And a lot of truth to that. And so it is today. No, we're not without our faults, and we're not without our sins, and that's for sure. And we can't quite place for sure. Some of us wonder here about verses like this, if America is listed in the scripture. Now, I'll tell you that it is in a very conclusive way. The Bible says the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all nations that forget God. That last statement, and all nations that forget God. The more we forget God, the more we join up with the crowd that's described as wicked nations. And that's a whole lot about what the election is important for. Every election is, but who is really going to hold up the values God holds up? And that's very important, folks. Anyway, moving on down through the verses. Verse 7, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. He said, don't Israel already know God? There's the Orthodox group that thinks they do, but they have rejected as a whole nationally the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's talking about this is going to be a witness to Israel. It's going to be a witness to all the rest of the heathen. And when you read the word heathen here in the verse, you're reading nations. Because in the day that Ezekiel wrote this, you had the mentality that Israel was God's nation and the rest of them were heathen nations, and to a great degree that was true. They were pagan. They did not know the Lord God Jehovah. So when you read that word heathen, oftentimes it's simply a synonym, a name for nations. And so he says here, he's concerned about his holy name. Now, through all these verses and these chapters, you keep having God repeat how important it is that they know who he is, about his holy name, about the testimony for his name. And it's still important today. So he says in verse 7, I'll make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen, other nations, shall know that I am the Lord. Look at the play on words here in your King James text. I am. Isn't that what he said at the burning bush when Moses says, what's your name? He said, I am that I am. And that's as close in English, pretty much, as you can get to the true name of God. There is a name that the high priest was allowed to speak one time a year in the Holy of Holies that even when you put it into English today, we can't totally 100% declare it as the very name of God. But it was that name that was allowed by God to the holy place where the priest went to offer the blood on the Day of Atonement. That was the closest to the true name of God. The closest thing you find in English today in your King James Bible is the word Jehovah and also the word Lord, L-O-R-D, when it's capitalized in your King James. That's identifying about as close as we can put the name of God in English. So when you read the commandments and the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is very jealous over his name. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Now we hear folks today with cussing habits and a lot of people throw the name of God around. God protected his name so that we don't pronounce it right. I'm not condoning cussing. I'm not condoning using the name of God in vain. I'm just saying thank God he protected it. Otherwise, fire from heaven might drop on you when you blaspheme the name of God. So I'm going to muddy the water on that a little bit. But he said, I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Verse 8, behold, it is come, it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. Now, he's spoken of this day many other places in the Bible. But he's saying that day is going to arrive. It's going to come. Now, he's telling these nations, and if you look at this coalition of nations, now you got a lot of the Muslim, so-called Islam, in control. They definitely are not honoring the true name of God. Somebody says, well, Allah is the name of God in Arabic. Yeah, but their God is the wrong God. If you'll do a little study, and that's what's missing in Washington and missing all in our colleges and everywhere else, is to admit, to really study the truth about what that religion is. Did you see in the news? Well, I don't think it made the news this week. They keep inventing ways to kill people. Chop off their heads is the main thing. But you saw where they put the fighter pilot in the cage and drowned him, didn't you? That's been quite a while ago. Then they have put others in a metal cage and burned them alive, yeah. Built a fire around them. The most recent thing they've done is about 7 of their own soldiers went AWOL and they caught them. And they put them in a big, what we'd call a big pot, and they boiled them to death. Now, they enjoyed that so much that they caught some of their enemies and they filled the pot not with water, but with tar, asphalt. And they boiled them again, these others, in that. Somehow or another, they get the joy out of the most heart that they can bring. And that's why we call them terrorists today. They're trying to terrorize people, and they think, and this is the part that gets you, they're doing it in the name of their God. Jesus said, talking about the last days, that the day would come that they would kill you and think they did God, their God, a favor. Yeah. Boy, aren't we in those days now? Anybody ought to know that. Anyway, The Lord here is talking about coming back and bringing this judgment. When this coalition of nations begin to move, and you watch it in the news, there's some politicians, some political analysts, some Bible scholars that are hollering right now that we're very close to this so-called Third World War breaking out. And yes, it could happen. There's no reason it couldn't happen. It's predicted, and yet we see all the buildup coming to it. All right, move on down here with me a little bit. We still got about 10 minutes of Sunday school. Sometimes somebody leaves early because they've got to go out and take a smoke. I'm joking. Wasn't that Hector that left? As far as I know, he don't smoke. I'm playing with Hector's a good guy, raised here since he was a toddler, so I'm joking around at him. But if you were a pastor and you were up here teaching, and somebody moves, like gets up, goes to the restroom, every head goes that way. And that's why I fuss about it. All right, come on back to the verses here. He said, "Behold, it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I've spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows and the band staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years." Now, God says, when I destroy this army on the mountains, Israel's going to go out there, and this is what does happen. Now, again, this is described in language that could have been understood 2,500 years ago. That's when this was written. 2,600 years ago, this was written. But he describes quite a list here of weapons. And what happens is they go out. And we do it in America. We go out to battle, and we'll take the weapons of the enemy we defeated. We'll study them. We'll see what we can learn from them. We'll take them. We'll use them. And so they did that in the old days, and that's what they'll do here. Now, Israel will definitely go out and do that. And when it says they'll burn the weapons, some of them will have to be burned, and I'll get to it a few verses later will prove this. Such things as radiation and poison and other things has to be taken care of that way. Many of these things they will confiscate. Any soldier that's been in a real battle can tell you more than one time that he had to pick up an enemy weapon and use the enemy's weapon because his was broken or out of ammo or something else. And so all of this is just a natural thing of war that takes place. Burning the weapons, yeah. You say, how are they going to burn a tank? Listen, they melt steel down very quickly today. And it is an interesting thing. Many years ago came out that in Russia, in particular, they had invented a wood. They called it a wood, but it was a wood that they used as armament on some of the weapons like tanks. And the purpose of it was to not be tracked by radar. So quite a interesting stuff there. Listen, the Bible don't need any of our modern science to prove it. It's just there. And it fits. It just fits all the time. Fits. Anyway, so it says that they'll spoil those that spoil them down in verse 10. So they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil. My eyes are getting older. They shall spoil those. My trouble was I'd written through that word with ink. Spoil them, those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the pastures on the east of the sea. You can Google that up, you folks that know how. And it shall stop the noses. It's going to stink. Let me put it plain. The death is going to stink. And the noses of the pastures, people that go by. And they'll bury Gog and his multitude And here it says they shall call it the Valley of Hamon-Gog. Now the word Hamon there just means multitude. So here's what the word means. It means the multitude of Gog, where these bodies are going to be, where these weapons are going to be. And by the way, the valley is there. You go over and look at it today. Valley of Jezreel. Sometime we call it the Valley of Armageddon, because Armageddon is going to play out there. Many believe this Third World War leads up to Armageddon. That's a little bit of a debate. Napoleon, the great conqueror, the French conqueror, is said to have stood on one of the peaks overlooking this valley and made this statement, recorded that he said this. He said, all the armies of the world could gather here in battle. Well, whether he knew it or not, that's what's going to happen. That is what we're reading about right here. Full of the armies of the different nations and God's judgment falling upon them. Dead bodies, they're going to stink here. Verse 12, in 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them that they may cleanse the land. The land's got to be cleansed of it. By the way, the Bible gives you warnings about even touching dead bodies. And of course, we understand now about disease and stuff. And God was giving warnings way back then. Verse 13, yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown. In other words, a memorial. The day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. It'll be something that's unforgettable. Unforgettable. And then he says in verse 14, and they shall separate out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, watch it again, to cleanse its after the end of 7 months shall they search. Now, why would they do that? We know today that nuclear fallout, radiation, that sort of stuff is what has to be cleansed. When they had this Chernobyl explosion, the nuclear plant in Russia, a number of years ago, they kind of kept it secret, but a lot of bad stuff resulted from that. A lot of deformed babies and other things that happened. We were taking our trip over to Romania and Russia shortly after that. And on a real snowy morning, we were there with Brother Morgan in Romania. We were out at a church there in the little city, and they had stored up a bunch of lumber to do some building, and the snow was pretty deep. It was a pretty sun bright morning, but snow was really deep. And of course, a Florida boy don't see much snow. So I was walking through the snow with them, and the roof of the little one little building there had snow over it. It was very pretty. And I just reached over there and got me a handful of snow. I was going to taste of it like I shouldn't do, but I was going to do it. And all the Romanian preachers in their language started saying, "Nevet, no, whatever, stopping me." And I thought, what in the world? You got plenty of it. Can't I have a handful? You know? And they were trying to say, no, poison. And they pointed way over the landscape. Chernobyl. Across the border from Romania into Russia was where that nuclear plant had messed up. And the fallout and the radiation, you would not dare take the rainwater or the snow. It was still dangerous at that point, and that had been some time. I understood then what they were talking about. I don't have time to go to it this morning, but that's mentioned also in the book of Revelation when the water is made bitter, and it's talking about this very same thing. My time is up today, but I'm going verse by verse here just to show you how modern this is. How it fits with what you're hearing in the news today. Now, what the bottom message ought to be is this. You ought to be ready for the Lord to come. Because this is all what he wrote ahead of time. And it will be just like he said. All right, let me give you the Sunday school report. We'll have about 7 or 8 minutes and we'll get into the preaching service. Well, 790. I wonder who.